Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 28. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what a glorious day it is together in the presence of Almighty God to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today, to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. I'm deeply honored and humbled to stand before you this day and this beautiful Easter Sunday to share with you some good news of the empty tomb and the eternal hope that it brings to each and every one of us. We often talk about the cross and the sacrifice Jesus made for us, but sometimes we forget the importance of the empty tomb. It is through the empty tomb that our hope, our faith, and eternal life are possible. In today's message, I want to share with you four benefits of the empty tomb. We will explore the power of Christ's resurrection, the hope it gives us, and the personal application that it has for each of our lives. I pray that this message will strengthen your faith and encourage you to live in the fullness of Christ's victory over death. In Matthew chapter 28, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 1 through 6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear fell on him. The keepers did shake and became as dead men. And that angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear ye not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place that where the Lord lay." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord's resurrection that we celebrate today. For we know without his resurrection, we would not be able to raise from the dead. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. We begin today with the proof of the resurrection. In our day, there are many skeptics who doubt the resurrection of Christ actually happened. So when we come to this Easter Sunday, they dismiss it as a religious fanatics. We don't know what we're talking about. And while I completely disagree with them about the resurrection, they are right in one aspect. If the resurrection of Christ did not take place, our entire belief system would fall apart. Even Paul said this, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Think about that. Without the resurrection, our faith would be in vain. We would not have any faith in Jesus coming back to get us. We would not have any faith that he rose from the dead and reigned in heaven. We would not have any faith or hope in this life. without the resurrection of Jesus. And all the preaching we do on the resurrection would not have any meaning at all if it had not been for the resurrection. Think about that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith as Baptists. Without the resurrection, Christianity would be just another religion based on an ordinary man. But Jesus was not an ordinary man. He is the Messiah. He is the one that came to save us from our sin. And his resurrection proves that. Thankfully, there's a wealth of historic events that supports the beliefs in Christ's resurrection. These historical proofs can strengthen that faith and offer of a foundation for our belief. Consider these 5 points. The empty tomb, first. The empty tomb. The discovery of the empty tomb is well documented in the New Testament, and the fact that Jesus' body was missing is difficult to explain away. The tomb was sealed with a large stone. The Roman guards were stationed outside to prevent theft with the threat of losing their own lives if they failed in their assignment. Despite their precaution, Jesus' body was not found, and the disciples began to spread the news that he had risen from the dead. All they needed to do was produce a dead body, but they couldn't because Jesus was alive. Think about that, my friend. These men that were stationed at the tomb, they were stationed, and if anybody had stole that body out of that grave, they would have been killed. Because they wanted to prove that Jesus had risen from the dead. They didn't want anybody to steal that body out of that tomb. But Jesus did not need the stone moved away so that he could come out. The stone was moved away so that the women could go into the tomb. Think about that, my friend. Jesus went through that tomb. He went through that rock. He went through that stone. He went through everything when he was risen from the dead. He did not need to have that stone removed from the door because he was the risen Savior. Number two, post-resurrection appearances. Numerous accounts in the New Testament describe Jesus appearing to his disciples and other followers after his death. These appearances were not just to one or two individuals, but to many people over a period of 40 days. Some of us, the most well-known appearances include Jesus' encounter with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus that we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning. His appearance to the Apostle Thomas and his appearance to over 500 people at once. Not one person who lived during that era ever came forward and claimed any of these accounts were untrue. Jesus appeared after his resurrection to his disciples. He ate with them. He did all of this to prove that he was the risen Lord. He appeared to these 500 people all at once to prove that he was the risen Messiah, that the grave could not hold him, that he was the risen Lord, and that he rose from the dead, and that he could save people from their sins because he was the Messiah. Thirdly, the transformation of the disciples. Before Jesus' death, his disciples were often fearful and uncertain, even denying and abandoning him during his crucifixion. However, after his resurrection, they became bold and fearless in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. This transformation can be seen in the book of Acts, where the disciples preach and perform miracles in the name of Jesus, even in the face of persecution and death. This dramatic change in their behavior suggests that they had genuinely encountered the risen Christ. Think about this. Think about how Paul preached on the resurrection, how Peter preached on the resurrection. Think about how all these people preach boldly in the face of danger. Think about how all these men that were so fearful before Jesus' resurrection, they gained great boldness and great ability to preach the word of God when Jesus left the tomb. Think about that. Fourthly, early Christian writings. The New Testament, especially the letters of Paul, provide early written accounts of the resurrection. Paul's letters, such as 1 Corinthians, are believed to have been written within 20 to 30 years of Jesus' death and resurrection. In these letters, Paul repeatedly emphasizes the importance of the resurrection and provides a detailed account of the appearances of the risen Christ. These early writings demonstrate that belief in the resurrection was central to the Christian faith from its very beginning. Without the resurrection, we would have no hope. Without the resurrection, we would have no faith. Without the resurrection, we would not have a home in heaven. Jesus rose from the dead so that we might be able to rise when we get our lives buried in the dirt, we will rise again. Think about that, my friend. Jesus said, though he died, he shall live again. That's the promise we have because of the resurrection. Jesus resurrected and he came out of that tomb so that he could give us the power to rise when we meet him in the air. Think about that, my friend. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They will rise out of those graves. They will rise out of that dirt. Listen. And we which will remain on the earth will join them and meet the Lord in the air. But the dead in Christ shall rise first. Think about that. Listen. The rapid growth of Christianity. Number four, the early Christian movement experienced rapid growth even in the face of severe persecution. The growth is difficult to explain if the resurrection were simply a fabrication or a myth. The willingness of early Christians to suffer and even die for their faith suggests that they had strong conviction in the truth of the resurrection. Fifthly, and I want you to listen very closely, the historian Josephus, who lived 37 AD to 100 AD, he was no friend of Christianity. In his Artifacts of the Jews, he wrote this. Now, remember, he was no friend to the Christian. Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate and the suggestion of the principal men among us, he condemned him to the cross. Those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again the third day. Just as the divine prophets have foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him and the tribe of Christians so named from him are not extinct at this day. The evidence for Jesus' resurrection is so strong that nobody would question it except for two things. Listen, this man that was no friend of Christianity, he wrote that Jesus rose again, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, and he rose the third day. Think about this, that he draw all men to himself, both Jews and Gentiles. And he said he was the Christ. He was the one that could save people from their sins. Listen, first, it is a very unusual event. And second, if you believe it ever happened, you would have to change the way you live. We could go on and on with many more significant proofs, but let that be enough for now. Jesus Christ literally rose from the grave, just as the Bible testifies. He rose from the grave. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, but he rose the third day. That is proved by proofs of the people that saw him, the people that saw him after his resurrection, the power that the disciples had, and all of these things prove that Jesus rose from the dead. Secondly, we want to talk about the power of the resurrection. While we could list all types of incredible displays of power, there is no power that has ever been displayed in the history of mankind that is greater than the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was crucified, think about this. He was dead. He was completely dead. His heart stopped beating. His brain had quit sending signals to the other parts of his body. His lungs no longer rose and fell. He was DOA when he was taken down from the cross. Think about this. Christ was physically dead. They drove nails in his hands and feet. They drove nails in his ankles to hold him on the cross. And think about this. He had a spear stuck in his side. Could any man live after that? Could many men live after he had a spear stuck in his side? No. He was dead. He gave up the ghost. The Bible says he gave up the ghost and was considered completely dead. Yet 3 days later, he miraculously, incredibly, powerfully rose from the dead. All the determining factors that told us he was dead 3 days before he had been reversed, let's look at some of the benefits we receive through the miraculous event when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Number one, we receive the gift of conquering sin and death. The first and most significant benefit of the empty tomb is that Jesus conquered both sin and death. He rose from the dead. He conquered that death. And he conquered sin when he hung on the cross and paid the sin debt for every believer. Everyone that would put their faith in Jesus, he conquered that sin. He removed that sin from the lives. He conquered that sin and death. He took the punishment for our sins upon himself, died on the cross, rose again, victorious over death. The Bible says, "So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we all have the strength to rise again when Jesus comes back. He's going to come back. He's going to call our name, and we're going to come out of those graves. Listen, my friend, Jesus conquered sin and death. The second benefit we have because of the resurrection is the assurance of our resurrection. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have the assurance that we too will rise again. His resurrection is a guarantee of our own future resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you'll turn over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to show you what the Bible says about our resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look down in verse 20 and 22. 1 Corinthians 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Listen, my friend, we have the guarantee of our resurrection because Christ resurrected on this first Easter Sunday. Listen to me. We have the assurance that if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and have Him as our Lord and Savior, when we die, we will be raised again. The third benefit we have is the power to live a new life. The resurrection of Jesus not only gives us hope for the future, but also empowers us to live a new life here and now. Through Christ's resurrection, we receive the Holy Spirit who enables us to live a life that is pleasing to God. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I want to show you one verse there. Romans chapter 6, look in verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also should walk in the newness of life. Because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to guide us and teach us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Listen, my friend, God sent the Holy Spirit down from heaven when Christ was crucified. He sent Him down to live in the life of every person that gives their heart to Him. Listen, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given for service, but could be taken away at God's will. Anytime He wanted to take it away, He could take it away. He does not do that in the Old Testament. After Christ's resurrection, the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts was poured out upon mankind, was poured out upon every Christian that was there at that day. They were there worshiping God, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. And they gave their heart to Christ, and in return, He gave them the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, in Jesus' own words, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, to comfort you, and to guide you, and to take care of you. Jesus would not leave us comfortless in this life. Even though he had to go, he sent the Helper to live inside our hearts. He sent the Holy Spirit to live where he no longer lived. Listen, my friend, Jesus was the one that gave us the ability to rise again and to live a life that was pleasing to God. The power of Christ's resurrection from the dead is truly transformative. The lives of literally millions of people have been completely changed as a direct result of the first Resurrection Sunday. The promise. We're going to talk about the promise now. The empty tomb is not just a historical fact, but is also a source of hope for every believer. This hope is not a wishful thinking or a blind optimism, but a confident expectation based on the promises of God. We have hope for the present. In the midst of life's trials and difficulties, the empty tomb reminds us that Jesus has overcome the world. Listen, my friend, we can face our problems with confidence, knowing that he is with us and has already won the victory. John 16:33 says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Secondly, we have hope for the future. We know that this life is not all there is. There is a life beyond the grave where we will live in the presence of God for all eternity. 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to read this verse to you, and I want you to really take hold of this verse, these two verses, and I want you to really get them deep in your heart. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." I was talking about that you could be saved and that you would never lose your salvation. This passage proves it. Listen, to an inheritance through the resurrection of Christ, through our belief in him, and through our giving him our heart, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. That, my friend, is a promise of our future hope. We have a home in heaven. We're going to be around the throne of God, and we're going to praise him for all eternity. Thirdly, we have hope of his return. Finally, the empty tomb gives us hope for the return of Christ. He has promised to come back for us and take us to be with him forever. John 14, verses 2 and 3. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We have a hope of his return. He's coming back to rapture us out of the ground when we die. He's coming back to take all those that are cremated. He's going to gather up that dust, and he's going to form a new glorious body where we will live for him forever. It'll be a body that never gets sick, never gets tired, never grow old, and never has any form of disease. Disease does not exist in heaven. There is no need for doctors in heaven because there is no sickness. There's no eye problems. So there will be no optometrist in heaven. We will not need vision aids. We will not need doctors to heal our body. We will be all in all of what Jesus said. Listen. Fourthly, we're going to talk about the peace that Jesus offers us. When we truly understand the resurrection, it brings a peace to our lives that is beyond understanding. As we apply the truths of the resurrection to our lives, we are able to live a way that we've never dreamed of before. We can have victory. We can live a life of victory. Number one, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to live a life in the victory he has won for us. This means we can walk in freedom from sin and experience the abundant life he has promised. Romans 6, if you turn there, Romans 6. I want to show you several verses of scripture here that the resurrection offers us victory over sin. Romans 6, look in verse 11. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. That passage in Romans 6 tells us that we don't have to live a life of sin. We have the Holy Spirit in our life that gives us the freedom of sin. We can live a life of righteousness. We can live a life if we just yield ourselves to God, if we'll just trust Him, if we'll just lean on Him, if we'll just obey Him, we can all be what He wants us to be. Secondly, we can share the good news. The empty tomb is good news that we must share with others. As witnesses of Christ's resurrection, we have the responsibility to tell others about the hope, forgiveness, and eternal life that can be found in Jesus Christ only. The Bible says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could be witnesses for Him. He poured out the Holy Spirit so that we could be all that He wants us to be. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God. Many people say, "Well, I don't know how to be a witness. I've never witnessed before." Let me tell you this. If you go out there with a desire to win souls, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. He will teach you all things, the Bible says. He will teach you all things. And He will be with you as you go out there and tell people about Jesus. Tell people about the wonderful resurrection. Tell them about that He's coming again to save us from death. Tell them all He is about to do. Thirdly, we can be prepared for His return. As we anticipate the return of Christ, we must be prepared to live our lives in a way that honors Him. Matthew 24:24 says this, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh." Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to take all of us home. We just have to be ready to meet Him. We have to be ready. We have to have our hearts right. We have to be in will with His call to come and accept Him as our Lord and Savior. Listen, my friend. Jesus is waiting for the Father to tell Him to come back. Only the Father knows when the end of time is coming. Only the Father knows. Not Jesus, not the angels in heaven. The Bible says the Father only knows when He's going to come back. But I like to tell you this. Jesus is at the door. He's got His foot on ready. And He's ready to come. He's ready to come. When that Father says, "Go get my children," He's ready to come. Because He knows time is short. The devil even knows time is short. In conclusion, the empty tomb is a symbol of victory, hope, and new beginnings. It represents the power of Christ's resurrection, which has conquered sin and death, guaranteed our future resurrection, and empowered us to live a new life in Him. The empty tomb also gives us hope for the present, the future, and the return of Christ. As we celebrate Easter Sunday, let us rejoice in the benefits of the empty tomb and live in the fullness of Christ's victory. Let us share the good news of His resurrection with others and be prepared for His glorious return. Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back. We need to be prepared. Christ is coming back to call all of those home who have placed their trust in Him. He is coming back to get His children. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and they which remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, my friend, Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back to get you and I if you know Him as your Lord and Savior. All I ask you to do today is remember that Jesus is coming, that He is coming for you and I. Are you ready? Are you ready for Him to come? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is when you need to give your heart to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and bring Your word this morning. We pray, Father, that You would help everyone here this morning to learn and to be attentive to Your word this morning, that they might understand that we have many benefits of the resurrection, and one of them is to go out and tell other people about the mighty love of God that rose Jesus the third day. Help us as we go through this invitation, and lead us and guide us in everything we do. For it's Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.